at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Matthew 13.
The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, or when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief.
Okay, we're going to be talking today about suffering, affliction, for the kingdom of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but continue toward your Son. I ask for every sister that's listening, that her eyes may be opened to the truth of the gospel and the glory of Christ, and how, you know, we obtain the kingdom of God in truth and reality, very real terms in her life, so she may become more full of power and advance your kingdom with all power and authority. Ask all these prayers in Father and Son, in Jesus' name. Okay, so suffering, affliction, okay? First off, I wanted to play those parables, okay? In particular, the parable of the sower, okay? You see that last group, okay? That fourth group is the only group that endures and bears fruit, okay? And they go through okay, and overcome many obstacles. If you listen to the parable of the sower, you have persecution, in particular tribulation, okay? And then you have the other group where it's in deceitfulness of riches, okay? And the places of the things of this world, okay? This life. And then you hear him talking about the pearls, okay? And then also to treasure, okay? And forsaking all for it, okay? What I'm hoping to explain clearly in this teaching is the importance of the ability to forsake all for the kingdom of God, okay? Truly dying to self, okay? Because so many Christians here in the United States are in a place of deception. They have their heart and mind in this place, okay? So then the Spirit moves upon them, okay? Trying to get them to be able to suffer affliction, trying to get them to forsake all, okay? Bear real fruit and evidence of the fact that their heart and their mind is in a heavenly kingdom, another place, that they truly believe that there's something of God, okay, that is never perishes, okay, that can never be taken away and is worth losing in this place, and so much better. Bringing forth fruit, evidences of true, real, okay, faith, okay. But they're in a place of deception, okay, that they can somehow possibly maybe have both, or somehow that's not God's will, or just whatever it is, and so they cleave, okay? I mean, many times people will face this type of these types of trials, and they will believe that it's Satan even doing it, and it's not, it's God, okay? Trying to bring a Christian to be a member of that fourth group, okay, that bears real fruit through tribulation, through persecution, through abandoning the things of this world, okay, that truly has a love, okay, for the one true God that's eternal and of another place and not this kingdom. And then here, this is Luke chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it will begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else will the other, while the other is yet a great way off, and sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple," okay? Because I've seen this, okay, where people are praying, okay, and they're seeking God on something, and God moves to answer their prayers, but it comes through this tribulation, forsaking all, okay? And I want to explain something also. I'm not talking about suffering that's brought about by sin, okay? This teaching is different. It gets into detail about it, but you don't want to deceive yourself. If you're in a place of sin and you're suffering because of it, you need to repent, okay? That's the issue going on there. This is a different type of teaching. Okay, he's moving, and he's going to remove the things of this world to replace them of something of his kingdom that is way better. But the person can't let go of this place, can't let go of what they believe, okay, is important here and now, okay? They're not willing to let go and release and give all to God, okay? And they don't make it. It's just like the parable of the sower. they suffer loss, it's taken away, okay? Okay, they'll hear that scripture and go, yeah, I calculate the cost, but it's not real, okay? They're in a place of self-deception. They are ready to sacrifice what they are comfortable with and not what's of God, okay? So there's no deception with God, okay? He knows what's being held back. You look at the rich ruler, okay, where he comes and he says, you know, all these commandments I've kept, you know, since I was 10. He says, yeah, you lack one thing. Okay, he says, forsake all, give to the poor, and come follow me. He can't do it. It's that one thing that's evidence of salvation. Okay? That's the real thing. Okay? It's the real thing. Not the stuff that we can let go of on our own strength or power. Okay? That's fake. That's man. That's works. Okay? It's a thing that you can't let go of. So you have to humble yourself and die daily. And abide in the vine daily, and so that it can be removed, okay, from the depths of your soul. It's real, okay? And you know it's real because you can't do it, okay? It takes the power of God and His grace to make it happen, to be able to suffer that affliction, to get through it. And then, when you get through to the other side, it's a work of God. It's not fake, okay? This is Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 15. It says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay, speaking of the Apostle Paul, okay? Now, each person's call is different, okay? And you can't manufacture your own affliction and suffering, okay? But suffering is part of the gospel, and it comes when the Holy Spirit brings it into your life, okay? And when it does come, you have to have a mind that's full of the Word of God, knowing, no, this is not something bad that I need to escape from. This is something I need to go through by the power of God, through His grace, by His grace, okay? And not flee from it. And you'll know it because it keeps showing up, okay? All right, you'll see it because you do. You flee. You go, oh, no, this is bad. This is really bad. Yeah, it's suffering, okay? But it's not bad. It's good. It's the gospel, okay? And you have the power to get through it with Christ. Okay? His grace is sufficient for you to carry you through it, but you need to abide in that vine daily. There's a teaching earlier on in these podcasts called The Vine. Okay? It's very helpful if you don't understand what the vine is. Okay? But you abide in the vine daily and He carries you through it. Okay? It's not us that does it. It's Him. You'll see. But you don't know it until you step out in faith and go through it. You'll see that you're bubble wrapped. It's Him. He's doing it. He's carrying you through it. Okay? And it's a circumcision. Outwardly you perish, but inwardly, okay, your inner man is renewed daily and strengthened. Why? Because it's of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And then this is 2 Timothy chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Okay. So many Christians here in the United States, they're not hard. you hear that like in the worldly term, hard, tough. But hardness, they don't have, I don't know. The Holy Spirit is really strong, okay? He's really powerful, okay? All right? And when flesh is looking at a trial of suffering, affliction, okay, they go, I can't do it, I don't want to do it, it's too hard, I can't take it. Okay, yeah, of course, okay, right, we're flesh. But the Holy Spirit is rock solid, and He'll get you through it, okay? Okay, my beloved sisters in Christ, having the ability, honestly, to toughen up, okay, to really become strong women of God, okay, soldiers, like he says, okay, able to endure affliction and suffering, okay, by the power of God, not in our own strength, okay. I was explaining it to my son this way, okay. We're driving around in a car, okay, and as I was driving it, I was trying to explain grace, okay? Grace is many things, but one aspect of grace, okay? I said, you know, I asked him, I said, am I driving this car? I mean, I'm sorry. Am I moving this car? Like, am I actually picking up, you know, all of us, carrying us around the city on the streets, you know, and carrying all the groceries in this vehicle, okay? No, right? It's the engine that's doing that. It's the actual physical car, okay? But me, I get in, I turn the key on, and I hit the gas pedal, okay? And then the car moves us around, okay? This is similar to grace, okay? It's hard, okay? It looks hard, okay? If you looked at the situation, let's say you didn't know how a car works, you didn't understand any of it, okay? But someone said to you, I want you to move that vehicle, right? All those groceries, all those people, you go do it, get in there, and then move all that around all over town, okay? I can't do that, okay? But then, you know, a person says to you, no, by faith, get in, here's some keys. You got a foot, okay? Turn the ignition on, put the car in gear, and now press down the gas pedal. You go, oh my gosh. Wow, I'm driving. This car is moving, and it's easy, okay? That I'm trying. I hope I'm explaining it well, but that's God's grace and power. You look at a trial, and you go, I can't do this. This is too hard, okay? This is just outright impossible. Yeah, it is, okay? But you obey the Holy Spirit, right foot, left footed, okay? Just like that person says, okay, takes a leap of faith, who doesn't know how a car works or how anything's gonna work, right? But they turn the key, okay? They switch the gear like they're told, and they hit the gas. Next thing you know, they're moving, okay? Same thing with God's grace. He called you to step out, okay, by faith in him. And just basically don't run away. Keep moving, okay? Stay there. Suffer the affliction. Know that I'm with you, okay? And I will give you the power, okay, to do this, okay? And you do it. You right foot, left foot it. You say, okay, I'm not going to run away from this trial. I'm going to face it head on by faith, knowing that you're with me. And whatever is taken away from me, whatever I suffer, I believe in you. I believe in your power. I love you. I trust you, okay? And it's yours. I believe. Here you go. Let's go, okay? And the next thing you know, you're going through the trial and you realize, wow, I can do this, okay? And you don't want to get puffed up and lifted. That's God's grace doing it. All of a sudden, you've got all this strength and all this power, and you're looking at a situation that you thought was outright impossible, okay? But you're doing it, okay? All of a sudden, you're doing it, okay? And depending on the magnitude of the trial, other people are looking at you and going, oh, you know, she's doing it. How is she doing that, right? God's grace, okay? But you have to be obedient and step out in faith, okay, and move, okay? Because it doesn't happen if you don't get in the car, okay? It doesn't happen if you're too afraid to pick up those keys, okay? It doesn't happen if you run the other way and you go, oh, I have no idea how this is going to work. It's terrifying. I can't do it, okay? It doesn't happen. Okay, and the problem is, just like a car gets you to your destination, okay, and gets you through things, I see this with Christians where they're facing trials, okay, but because they're afraid, they run out of the way, they don't believe in God's grace and his power and strength to get us through things, okay, and they're not willing to forsake all by faith, okay, they don't go through it, okay, and they take off in the other direction, and you can't do this, okay. All right, this is part of the gospel, and you'll know it again because you'll see it. It keeps showing up. You can't seem to escape it, okay? But you can't do this, okay? Because it's people are under a state of deception, okay? Because we are saved by God's grace. If there's no suffering, okay, that you go through, okay? And it's not true. The Bible says that we suffer, okay? He says it. Okay. Again, looking at the life of Christ here, this is Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And then this is Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This is really important, because so many Christians, they look at the promises in the Bible and they don't see them in their life, okay? And then they doubt and wonder if it's true, okay? They're absolutely true, okay? And I'm no hypocrite, okay? I'll let you know that, all right? Each person's suffering is designated by God and appointed by him, okay? So it's not going to be, I'm not saying that everybody's going to, you know, die on a cross exactly like Jesus did, okay? But you're going, it's just like it's like he says, okay? All right? You're going to be, well, let's look at this. This is John chapter 15, starting at verse 20. It says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So we're just like Christ, okay? Like I said, it's at varying degrees, okay? The level of suffering and persecution is different for everybody, okay? But the thing is that when you become a Christian, like he says, you need to calculate the cost. You have just enrolled in the kingdom of God, which is great, but now you've got very real enemies, okay? Very real enemies, and they're coming after you, okay? And they will, because they have access to it, okay, reach at you and attack you through the things in this place, okay? Which is why he says, it's just the truth. You need the person to call, okay, by faith, because you're going to come after it, okay? Whatever attachments you've got in this place, in this world, Satan's got access to it. It's his territory, and he's going to move upon you, okay? You need to be aware of that, okay? You don't have to worry about it. Let it go. There's something better for you, okay? But the process is there's gonna be suffering involved, okay? But our life, okay, because we're the same as Christ. We're one body, okay? We're one with him, okay? Because like I said, so many Christians are in a place of deception. They believe, okay, but their life is so caught up here in this place and in this life, okay, that when these things come, they don't make it, okay? Or they lie to themselves, okay? Just all types of stuff takes place, okay? All right, to where they don't get through to the other side. And then once again, like I was speaking of in by God's grace, in the verse in Romans, okay? They don't understand. Where's the victory? Where's the power? Where's the glory? Well, you're not suffering with Christ, so you're not glorified with him, okay? You need to suffer with him. You need to go through it and endure hardship. And it's not a bad thing, okay? Once again, he brings it upon your life, okay? You can't, it's all, you always walk in the spirit, okay? Because you'll know it. It's coming, okay? It's from God. Let's go through it together. Here we go, okay? It's good, though. I gotta tell you. You're missing out, okay? For any sister that finds themselves and they're escaping their trials, they're escaping their suffering, okay? Alright? You're missing out on the good stuff, okay? You die, you get Christ. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I love it. You know, it's not in my own strength, but I go, and I'm not a hypocrite. I tell you the truth, okay? I'm not lying, okay? That's why I can say this in truth. Go for it, okay? Because these trials come, okay? And I've seen them in my own life, and they're hard. And look, I go, what on earth? Oh my gosh, you know? But then I realize, deep in my heart, oh, I'm going to get through the other side of this. I'm going to have more Christ. I'm going to have a revelation of him. I'm going to have something real good at the end of this trial. I'm going for it. Let's go. Let's die. Let's do this, okay? I'm excited. I want to see what's going to happen, okay? It's a good thing, okay? It's not bad, but you need to move. You need to step out in faith first before you can see these things. And then this is one of my favorite verses. This is Acts chapter 14, starting at verse 21. It says, And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they turned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It's a fight, okay? Sisters, it's a fight. Okay? It's a fight. Okay? Mostly, okay, it's against demons and principalities and rulers of darkness in this present world, but against yourself, okay, to overcome your old man, your flesh, this place, okay? It's a fight, much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. For eternity, yes, but then also victory here. See, what's happening when you face these trials is you're pulling through to the other side to bring forth the kingdom of God. And it's with much tribulation. When you're called through a trial and everything goes wrong, but the Holy Spirit says, it's okay, keep going, I'm with you, and it's hard, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, but you're not being convicted by the Holy Ghost, okay? He's not telling you there's anything wrong. He's saying, keep going, okay? You're headed towards the kingdom of God. A breakthrough. Okay? And not a breakthrough like this place has ever seen. A breakthrough from the kingdom of God. You go and you fight and you don't stop. Okay? And no, don't be deceived. There will be suffering. There will be tribulation. Okay? But you don't stop. Okay? Some cases, Satan will throw everything at you. And you suffer it. You go through it with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, with all strength and all power, with all hardness. You don't flinch. Okay? Have a true and realistic, biblical understanding of obtaining the kingdom of God. There is suffering involved. Okay? Real suffering. The Bible says it. And God is not a liar. But if you suffer with Christ, you will be glorified with Christ. Okay? You get through the tribulation, you receive the kingdom of God. And then this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, let's start at verse 3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye, this is really important, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Okay? Not talking about earning your salvation. I'm not talking about works. Because when you start talking about stuff like this, you have to be aware, okay, of the falling away, okay? Okay, and the lukewarm church, okay? You could just reference those. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then Revelation chapter 3, church at Laodicea, okay? Talks about the lukewarm church and the falling away. Because when you start facing something, okay, and that's hard, okay, the falling away, okay, and lukewarm church will deceive you. Oh, you're trying to earn your salvation, okay? All right, you're works-based. No, no, no. You're walking in the Holy Spirit, and he's telling you to just do exactly what the Bible says. It's not you doing it. No, it's not true. Okay? You're not showing up. I'm going to do this for God, creating your own trials. No. The Holy Spirit brings it upon you into your own life. Okay? Then he calls you. Let's go through this. You're not earning anything. Okay? You're not working anything. Okay? In terms of your own strength, you're just obeying the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you know you're obeying the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it lines up with the Word of God. He's calling you to go through it. Okay? And then I want to talk to you also about fasting. Fasting is really good. Not to be like as a hypocrite or like he warns about showing off and stuff like that. But I'm talking about very real fasting between you, okay, and the Lord in that secret place, okay? It is one way, okay? Because see, the thing is that you overcome and you get through by God's grace, okay? Through his strength and power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you fast, okay, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. You'll know, okay, he's calling you to fast, okay? But when you fast, okay, many things happen. But one thing that's very good about fasting is it increases your patience, okay? Because you can sit in a place of suffering in the flesh, okay? Knowing that you're going to have something when you're done. And it strengthens your power, okay? Your spiritual power to be in suffering, okay? And handle it and be okay, okay? It's a very good thing. It sounds really hard, especially... You need to be careful, my fellow American sisters, because I tell you, in many ways in other countries, they are, I don't know, it's just here in the United States, where you've got fast food on every corner, okay? We're really at a disadvantage in this area. Our flesh, you need to be aware of this, okay? Satan and Scott are, if you're not guarded against it, but he's got the American people's flesh being fed every 2 seconds, okay? Incredibly carnal. Really, 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 really bad for the gospel, okay? And it's going to change. It's going to change. American Christians are at a great disadvantage at this from the get-go, okay? But it can change at any moment, of course. And the thing for any, you know, sister that just obeys the prompting of the Holy Ghost to overcome their flesh, okay? And the thing also, too, I want to mention about fasting, okay? You want to obey the Lord when he tells you, if he's telling you a certain period of time. But if you fall and stumble, don't quit, okay? If you have a meal and you know that you're supposed to fast, just try again the next day, okay? Or if you want to go on a really long fast, okay? But you just don't have that endurance yet. You can, it's just like, you know, for example, people when they're trying to get in shape, start small, okay? You can have fasting as a part of your regular life also, okay? Being an extended fast, or you can, as led by the Holy Spirit, have, you know, weekly fasts or monthly fasts that you do on a regular basis, okay? To crucify your flesh, okay? And grow in the inner man and grow in that spiritual power, okay? This is Matthew chapter 9, verse 15 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast." And this is Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 2. It says, speaking of the early church, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Okay? So fasting, it's just so much. You can hear the Holy Spirit much more clearly. Okay? You can do it to increase, if there's any giftings of the Spirit that you want to ask for, any prayer requests, but then also too, okay, to strengthen any gifts that you may have. I mean, it's just a really wonderful way to humble your heart before the Lord. But it is important in terms of being able to handle suffering, okay? And like, you know, it said in Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. It toughens you up. It's really a blessing. And then this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Okay, so that's the Apostle Paul, okay, talking about crucifying his flesh and bringing his body under subjection. Okay, you need to crucify your flesh, you need to bring it under subjection, because that thing wants to take you to hell. Okay, it's like a wild, untamed horse. Okay, you get on it, it'll kill you, but if you tame it, okay, and bring it under subjection, it's great. It takes you where you need to go, here and there. It's dangerous. You need to crucify your flesh, okay? Very, very dangerous. Your worst enemy, you can see it. You know what God wants you to do, okay? And then you're in the middle of the trial, you find yourself doing the exact opposite and failing, okay? Not in all circumstances, but in some circumstances. And you look, you see it's your flesh. It rose up. It got a hold of you. You got to bring it under subjection. You got to tame that wild beast. Okay, you own it. It doesn't own you. Okay, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are the boss of your flesh. Okay, it's not the boss of you. It's not supposed to be. Okay, but you need to be aware of that. Okay, because a lot of Christians that I've seen, you know, they're headed for a trial. They go, "Well, I just have faith. I just believe that God's going to bring it to pass." Okay? And they can see the Holy Spirit's calling them to crucify their flesh, make war against themselves, endure hardness as a good soldier, and overcome. Okay, and they're slothful. They don't do it. Okay, they don't do it. Okay. Okay, and then they lose. Okay, you don't win fights that way. Okay, you can have faith, and you can trust in God. And His grace will come, and you are saved by grace. And the way that I've seen it happen is you lose, and you cry, and then you're sad, and you say, "I lost everything. I shouldn't have been so slothful." Seriously, okay? Yeah, it's true. You can have faith, yeah. Okay, but faith produces works, and you have to obey the Holy Spirit, okay? It doesn't work that way. When the Holy Spirit calls you to do something, and you go, "Well, I'm not going to do it because I have faith in you." No, you're disobedient, okay? You're slothful. It's too hard. I'll just have faith. Remember. And He does. It's not the way you want it, though. Okay? If there's any sister that's listening to this and you found yourself like that, it's not the way you want it. You do. You are saved by grace. And you do have faith. And guess what? You repent. And you repent the hard way. Okay? You'll lose. You lose it all. I've seen it happen. With my own two eyes. I've been a witness to this. Okay? Where a believer is called, step out, start obeying, crucify that flesh, endure hardness as a good soldier, suffer for the gospel. And they say, "Well, no, I have faith. We're under grace. I'm not going to, you know, no, no, no. That's works. No, it's not true, okay? That's disobeying the command of the Holy Ghost. And when that person's in that secret place, they know it. Later on, once they stop lying to themselves, okay, they see it crystal clear. No, that was the Holy Ghost telling me what to do. I just didn't listen to Him. I chose to listen to false teaching, the falling away, the lukewarm church, and disobey Him. And I lost. I lost greatly. Much crying I've seen. Much sadness in those cases. Okay? And then He does bring them to repentance. Okay? But that's not the way, if you're wise, you want to go through stuff like this. Just obey Him. Okay? And move those feet. And this is Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 16. It says, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." You have to be, when the Lord is taking you through these trials, okay, you need to go through them, okay, and not escape, okay, make your own escape, I mean, you know, like they did, you know, with the, when Moses went up, you know, and he was up there for a long time getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And I said, we don't know. They don't want to wait, right? So they made themselves a golden calf. Satan will do this in your trials, okay? You're waiting for the real thing, okay? I'm not speaking of the law, but I'm talking about you're waiting for an answer from God. You're waiting for a revelation of God. You're waiting for Him, okay? And Satan goes, oh, you know, here are your gods, O Israel. You know, let's make some golden calves and escape. Don't wait for Him, okay? You can't do this, okay? It's not good, okay? You need to heed the warnings of Scripture, okay? Especially that one, because I know and I can speak not of my own strength and power, but because of the work that the Lord has done within me, okay? By going through these trials, okay? I'm not a hypocrite, okay? Everything that I'm talking about, you know, it's from what the Lord has taken me through, okay? And it's a good feeling, okay? When you're facing something, okay, and it is frightening, and it is overwhelming, but in your patience, you possess your soul, okay? You have ownership, okay? You have the power and ability to say no and overcome temptation, okay? And to go through things that most people would flee at, okay? You see, the thing is that when you go through affliction, okay, and you go through suffering for the sake of the gospel, okay, according to the will of God, what you need to understand, okay, is that the Holy Spirit, okay, is forming a supernatural person within you, okay? Because when I think just from my own testimony, looking at circumstances that I have gone through and then hearing testimonies of other faithful believers who have gone through horrible situations and they're fine, okay, that would utterly destroy anybody of the flesh. Okay, it would consume them. They wouldn't make it. It's supernatural. It's a work of God. But it's formed, okay, by being obedient and going through these trials by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a supernatural transformation, okay, that takes place within a believer where they become a son of God, okay? Not man, okay, but a son of God, supernatural, okay? And I must share, okay, it's a good feeling and you want it, okay? You want it, okay? To stand there in the midst of a trial and Satan is trying to overtake you, okay? He's throwing everything at you, trying to completely overthrow you, but he can't because you're rock solid, okay? In your patience, possess ye your soul. You've got ownership of it, okay? The power of the Holy Spirit belongs to God, okay? But it's you, beloved sister. It's you, okay? It's you. You don't want to lose yourself to Satan. You don't want to lose anything to Satan, but especially yourself, okay? Think about those words. Possess ye your soul. You have a vested interest. I don't mean to laugh, but I don't know. Sometimes the word of God gets watered down. That's very important. Okay? I think you care about, okay, having possession of your own soul. Okay? Having ownership over it. Okay? And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, pray and ask the Lord to open your eyes. Okay? But it's not good when Satan can overthrow you, okay, and take power and dominion over you. That's what people don't understand, okay? Scripture says he that sins is a slave to sin. When you, okay, escape these trials, if you're in a place of deception, okay, you may think, well, it's better. Things are better now, okay? You don't understand. You just got overthrown, okay? Satan just took power and dominion over you. Okay, and you see this later on because when you're trying to escape and your eyes are open and you've had a revelation, you see, oh, the path thereof is death. Okay, I was deceived. This is not good. Oh, wait, I'm in the same trial again. Okay, I want to endure, whoa, this is really, really hard. I don't seem to have that strength and power to resist Satan. Yeah, because he overthrew you the last time, okay? Is there the ability to do it? Yes, there is. But you've got a fight on your hands. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? You've got a fight. You need to know that. You got the power of God on your side. You can do it through his grace, okay? But the thing that you were trying to avoid, now you have to go through. It's best just to go through it the first time and not run from it, but rejoice when these trials are placed before you, because you have the opportunity for real power, and real strength, and real authority, and real dominion, okay, over both yourself and the power of Satan. It's very real, okay? It's a good feeling when you're rock solid inside. You're fortified, a fortress, okay? And you know, because you have faith in Christ Jesus, that he'll carry you through. All right? And you've got the patience to endure all the way through until the end. Okay? And that Satan can't have you because you don't want him to. Okay? Okay. Well, so I pray that that's helpful, beloved sisters in Christ. Okay? And really receive that. Okay? I pray you really do. And really gird up the loins of your mind. Okay? Strengthen and empower yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Alright, so that you can wage all war against yourself and the powers of darkness and overcome, okay? Come out of deception and darkness and the lukewarm church, okay? And all the lies that are out there. Receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a good thing. You've got the power of God on your side. You can overcome anything. Okay? Through Christ Jesus. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's the real thing. You only knew. Okay? For those sisters who have seen it, praise God. But if you haven't, let me just tell you. You know, there's a reason why scripture over and over again goes, there's one God. Okay? And talks about the power of God and how the power of God tramples upon, you know, all principalities, you know, and you know, the deceptions that are in this place. There's a reason why he talks about that, okay? He has ruler and authority and dominion. The Holy Spirit is so strong, okay? Strong, okay? He really is. Look at the stuff that I've been through, and I'm amazed, because I used to be such, so weak, okay, and such a flake. I was flesh, okay? I'm transformed by the power of God. I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit is just, he's rock solid and full of power, and like, I don't know, he's just indescribable. But you keep your faith and trust in Christ Jesus and his Holy Spirit to carry you through anything, and believe with your whole heart, you'll be fine. Just don't run from stuff, okay? Have faith. So I pray that that's helpful, okay, beloved sisters in Christ. And then, as always, if any sister has any questions or anything, you can just go ahead and contact me. All of my information is there on the webpage, okay? All right. I love you, and God bless. And then just one more thing before we finish up. This is Revelation chapter 13, starting at verse 7. It says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." Okay? I'll put it like this, okay? If Bible says if your name is written in a Lamb's book of life, you're not going to take the mark of the beast. So if I can reason with any sister, bottom line, God's going to finish his work in you. Okay? He's going to perform his perfect work in you. Okay? Because his word will be fulfilled. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay, you're not going to take the mark of the beast. All right? And so you're going to change. Okay? You're going to be, unless the Lord tarries, okay, but if we see this, okay, you need to heed this warning and start looking at your trials differently, your suffering differently, okay, and not lie to yourself, okay? When you see something coming upon you and coming upon you, okay, be aware. This may be the hand of God coming to perform his perfect work within you. Receive it with gladness and know that he loves you. And he's doing it to transform you. Okay?
John 18.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth, and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him,
If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.